Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is our gospel reading, but we start with our epistle where John asks the angel, "Who are these in white robes and from where have they come?" That question seems to have been asked by the church throughout the ages, sometimes with different answers. John is describing the saints. Who are the saints? Some would say and have said throughout history, those whose deeds have made them exceptional examples of the Christian faith. Those who have, say, performed miracles. Those who have sacrificed all, given up their lives as martyrs. Or, in some cases, just people who are better than the average run-of-the-mill Christian. There are other people who would say that those 144,000 constitute a special group within the Christian faith, that the number 144,000 is literal. So I guess, given all the Christians who have gone before us, our chances are pretty slim of being in that group. So maybe that whole passage just doesn't even refer to us. And others would say other things. They have passed through the Great Tribulation, and they think, oh, this Great Tribulation must be a special time in the history of the church when things are really, 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 really bad. And since times are maybe really, really, really bad, but not really, really, you get it, then we probably don't fit in there either. Who will answer this question for us? I have a white robe on today. Nah, 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 nah. Nope, that's not it either. Turns out Jesus answers the question for us. We need to understand his words in the right way. You heard them, didn't you? Blessed are the poor with respect to spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. And he goes on, other folks as well, and blessed are those who are persecuted on account of righteousness, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And there are some other blessings as well. These blessings, the Beatitudes. They're kind of snappy and easy to remember. We learned in Bible class a couple weeks ago that is a particular Bible trope where any speaker may do this, just say the same thing over and over. It's called anaphora. Blessed are this, blessed are that. But there's also a kind of figure of speech here too, where Jesus makes some bookends. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then the ones who mourn, and the meek, and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And he kind of ends that with another one, those who are persecuted on account of righteousness, because theirs is the what? The kingdom of heaven. So he kind of puts all that stuff in there. And that may remind us that these people, let's call them saints, that this is a description of them. And that means it is not a letter of instructions. Okay, and do you see the difference? If Jesus is giving us a letter of instructions about how we are to be saints, well, I guess we have our work cut out for us. Everyone here, raise your hand if you are poor in spirit. Everyone, raise your hand here if you mourn. Everyone who is meek, raise your hand. Raise your hand if you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Okay, I see hands popping up here and there and some. I guess we've got our work cut out for us, and so the rest of this short sermon should be nothing more than instruction on you better get your act together, and here are five or six ways that you can become a saint. All right? First, go to the store and buy Tide, because it's the best of the detergents, and your white clothes will come out whiter. Again, no. And this is because Jesus is not giving us a set of instructions about how to become saints. He is describing the character, the nature of the saints. And it is not necessarily what you expect. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who mourn, and so on and so forth. You probably know people who fit that category. And in a way, you were right to raise your hand. But let's think about this just a little bit differently. We know that Jesus is our example, and we are to follow his example. But I wonder how often we apply this to the Beatitudes and think, who is this Jesus? What is it makes him so special? Is he poor with respect to spirit? Is he humble? Is he meek? Does he hunger and thirst for righteousness? Does he mourn? And so on and so forth. Is he persecuted on behalf of righteousness? And is he blessed because people speak all manner of evil against him? Does he rejoice? And is he glad because his wages are great in the heavens? The answer to all those questions is yes. Jesus is the saint of all saints. The word saint means a holy one, so it kind of fits. Jesus is holy, perfect, without sin. But think about him with regard to the kind of life he lived, where St. Paul in Philippians 2 talks about how he empties himself, taking upon the form of a servant and being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself even to the point of death on the cross. The kind of person he describes him as, this saint of saints. He is all of these things, not because he is guilty of terrible sin and must live in shame and in humiliation, but because he chooses that path for himself. And he even rejoices and is glad in it, knowing the suffering that is to come, experiencing that suffering, and conquering it. He rejoices because what he is doing is not for himself. So he doesn't really fit in with the 21st century. We're all supposed to do things for ourselves. He does what he does for you and for me. And because he does that, well, you know the story. He died and rose again. And he gives us the forgiveness of sins and his own righteousness. And that includes his own purity. He cleanses us from our sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from our sin. So we put white robes on the babies who are baptized, and we put white palls on the coffins of those who have gone to heaven. And we put white robes on our confirmands, and we use white for All Saints Day, for Easter, so on and so forth, to represent not our purity, but his purity and the joy of heaven. Because he has done what he has done, we are his. That means that we are saints. We are saints because he, the perfect one, gives us his sainthood. He bestows it upon us in baptism through the daily remission of our sins as we leave the altar this day, having had those sins forgiven and being enriched by his own body and blood. Therefore, when we read the Beatitudes, we ought not to read them as a prescription for how to make ourselves into better Christians than other people and maybe get a little higher place in the kingdom of heaven. Instead, we ought to read them concerning ourselves. If we are the ones who are poor in spirit, what have we to offer God except the blood of Jesus Christ? That we are the ones who are meek, the ones who mourn, the ones who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because our concern is God's favor and God's forgiveness. And quite frankly, the rest of the world be damned. Because it's going to be, you know. Blessed are those who are merciful. Well, what is it that makes us merciful except that we have received mercy from God, our Heavenly Father? And are we pure in heart? We are, even though we daily and frequently and often sin against our Heavenly Father. We are pure in heart because we are daily and frequently and often cleansed of our sin. And so on and so forth. Especially, you notice that Jesus ups the ante in these Beatitudes. You know, he starts out with, blessed are the poor in spirit, and ends, blessed are you when you're persecuted on account of me. Right? When people speak ill of you, when they say bad things about you and treat you shamefully. In the world's eyes, that would mark you as someone who is insignificant and who does not count. In God's eyes, you are the ones who are receiving the crown of glory. And we are to look at those things, not necessarily in our lives, but in the lives of our loved ones, and say, look, this dear one suffered these things in his life, in her life, what does Jesus say about him or her? A crown of glory in the presence of God. At the never-ending feast, the banquet of which this is simply a foretaste. And great joy, eternal joy. And so, we rejoice. The hymn of glory that we sing, the many hymns that we sing, that sing praise to God, are on account of him and what he has done for them and for us. So this All Saints Day, to make sure we hear Jesus correctly when he says, blessed. Blessed are you, not because you're such a fine fellow or gal, and everybody just must think you're the bee's knees or the cat's paws, I don't know. But blessed are you because you are in Christ and of Christ, and blessed are you eternally. In Jesus' name, amen.